HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Tom Foti. Just about now, a four-day ceasefire is supposed to start in Gaza between Israel and Hamas. A few hours later, to be followed by releases of Palestinian prisoners in Israeli jails in exchange for hostages taken by Hamas in the October 7 terrorist raids. But until the guns and the bombers are confirmed silent, the BBC's Orla Garin tells us,
people are very concerned about the possibility of being duped, and many are afraid that this deal could fall apart after one day. That perhaps the first group will be released and then that something will go wrong. I think it goes without saying that there is no trust here in the motives of Hamas. And of course, worries about how many of these hostages are actually alive. There has been no proof of life provided through this entire period.
All this causing roller coaster emotions for Israelis like Eli David, his brothers among the hostages not expected to be freed in the first group.
I still fear for his life. And we know nothing about him, about his medical situation and so on.
Apparently related to the tensions over the Mideast war, a former State Department official in the Obama administration, Stuart Seldowitz, is now facing hate crime charges in New York City. He was caught on video launching into an Islamophobic rant against a food cart vendor.
Mohammed Hussein recorded Seldowitz several times on different days outside his halal food cart and says he made anti-Islamic statements.
You're a terrorist. You support terrorism.
Seldowitz had been a career State Department official and also worked for the Obama administration as acting director for South Asia at the National Security Council.
Correspondent Roxana Saberi. Also in New York, very different story despite the heightened security, the annual Thanksgiving parade.
From the dazzling floats and A-list performances. To SpongeBob SquarePants, the massive Pillsbury Doughboy, and of course,
Snoopy.
Millions of people packed the New York City streets to catch a glimpse of their favorite characters soaring through the sky.
Correspondent Tom Hansen. In southeast Alaska, the search goes on for an adult and two children missing after a landslide ripped through a remote fishing community, and there are fears of more landslides.
One of the biggest signs that people need to be listening for are noises like rumbling, trees cracking, boulders knocking, especially if that noise starts as a faint noise and gets louder and louder and louder.
Barrett Salisbury, he is an Alaska state geologist. Better news reported in Kentucky, CSX says the chemical fire at a train derailment that caused evacuations is out. Residents can now return to their homes. This is CBS News.
You don't need a job platform. You need a hiring partner. Indeed lets you schedule and conduct virtual interviews all from one place. Start at Indeed.com/credit. Texting enrolls you in a reoccurring automated.
The gun deer season in Wisconsin is heading into its final weekend. A proposed bill in the state legislature aims to curb the spread of chronic wasting disease. Democratic Representative Katrina Shankland is proposing $2 million for carcass disposal sites and $100,000 to teach hunters about the brain wasting disease and why it's important to dispose of carcasses properly. Today's a big day in Greendale. The high school band is marching in the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade in New York City. The Greendale Band is one of just six high school bands from around the country to have the honor this year. It's the second time the Marching Panthers are appearing in the Macy's Parade. The last time was in 2016. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
The Packers beat the Lions on Thanksgiving Day. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Green Bay Packers with a 29-22 win over the Lions. Detroit now 0-7 at home here on Thanksgiving Day. The game starting off with a deep pass from Jordan Love to Christian Watson for 53 yards, setting up the Packers' first touchdown.
Something we put in this week that, you know, we thought was going to work, and we were confident in it, and came out, you know, obviously put the ball up there, and Christian went up there and made a great catch.
Head coach Matt LaFleur said he almost canceled that play.
It was one of those deals. Matter of fact, I almost changed that first play call. I was kind of mulling it over quite a bit, and I texted Jordan this morning and told him I was going to change it to something else, and he said he wanted this call, so I said okay.
I asked Watson if he knew that play was almost canceled. Instead, he says he has to take the pressure off his quarterback.
So, you know, when stuff, you know, isn't going our way as a team and it's all getting thrown on Jordan, you know, I'm trying to, you know, find ways to, you know, take that off of him.
With sports from Ford Field in Detroit, I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Mostly clear skies and middle teens by sunrise with a north to northwest wind. Quite a bit of sunshine into Friday, highs in the lower 30s. Clouds are back, though, for Saturday. We'll see highs in the afternoon into the lower and middle 30s. Right now, it's 19.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. Tell a friend what's on tap.
There's a new station in town with conversation about Chippewa Falls, Eau Claire, and the Chippewa Valley.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media. Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Dom, I'm very, very excited for this Tuesday edition. The last live show we're doing before the Thanksgiving holiday weekend.
Happy Tuesday. That weekend seems like a Friday to me. Crudy, good to see you. Nate, working the board, working hard. Thank you, my friend. And our fair audience, happy, happy Tuesday.
Well, Dominic, this date, it's a red letter day on the calendar as well. I circled it, not just because Scott Ross is coming down here to the WMDX 92.7 FM studios. Firebrand, Gemini, our friend, he'll be here soon. Not just because of Scott, but November 21st. I've circled this day on the calendar for weeks, perhaps longer, Dom. Oral arguments in the Wisconsin Supreme Court. I've been eagerly anticipating this day, Dom. And the question that came to my mind, how long into the oral arguments would it take before the bad Bradley, Rebecca Bradley, just showed her true partisan stripes, just threw her out stuff out there as full bag of Dom. How long do you think it would take?
I didn't think it would take long, Crudy, and I was right.
She went under. Like my prediction, I would have thought more than virtual seconds. The
no.
Man just started speaking.
Yeah.
Now we've got some sound. We've got some sound to start the show, Dom. Nate, our very capable producer, is going to help us out here. Nate, pull the sound and play a little bit of the sound. Let's start. I'm sorry, I'm looking for the numerical numbering of the sound. Well, how many licks does it take to get to the center of a partisan bad Bradley, Dom? One, two, not more than three. Let's count it down. Partisanship shows in 3, 2.
Good morning, and may it please the court. The Wisconsin Constitution's redistricting requirements are not optional.
Counsel, where were you? Where were your clients 2 years ago? Because we've already been through this.
I didn't get more than three licks into my Tootsie Pop.
Oh, my. She has it all figured out. It's almost like she's prejudging the case.
You might wonder. You might wonder.
I mean, if you're going to go after the guy like that, didn't even get his opening statement out, didn't even take his first breath, and you jump on him like that? What? Where were you 2 years ago? Well, you don't even know the merits of the case yet, do you, Judge? I mean, you're going to let him talk first, or did you already prejudge it?
She's a little miffed.
I mean.
Are we sure it's not Karen Bradley? Justice Karen Bradley? Little Karen-ish. Well, you know, thank goodness, Dom, when it came time to do questioning of litigants before the court, she didn't fluff it up at all for Rick Eisenberg and the Wisconsin Institute of Law and Liberty.
Let me prove your lie,
Your Honor.
You win the rules.
Here's good Bradley correcting, perhaps, bad Bradley. Bad Bradley, the partisan one, she goes first. Play it for the people, cut two.
So I'll ask you if you consider this to be a fair tribunal that will independently and impartially consider your arguments in this case when three justices on this court ruled against your clients and a fourth justice conveyed her predetermined position on the Johnson cases by campaigning on a mantra that the maps adopted in Johnson were rigged and saying she agreed with the dissent in the maps case.
It's interesting when only one justice on this court has in a legal writing on this case.
Excuse me, Justice, I would appreciate the courtesy of you not interrupting me, and I would like to hear a response to my question.
I will cut a bitch.
Wow. Excuse me while I continue talking in my loaded terms about predetermined. That's quite an assumption you're making there, Justice. Especially given you didn't let the opposing attorneys have more than 6 seconds of conversation before you so rudely interjected.
You know, so often we would see partisan rulings from the prior court, and it was almost like they'd gotten used to it. Like, might makes right, so whenever we say it, it's true. This seems like a very troubling time in the bad Bradley's life. What is it? Karen? Oh, no, I'm sorry. I get that wrong.
Yes.
I think she's really...
apologize to all the Karens out there.
I think she's really struggling with this newfound, you know, sort of judicial minority she finds
herself in. Minority status, yeah. Life's a bitch sometimes.
And it's like she feels like she's being discriminated against in her ideology in some way, shape, or form, Tom. Well, you know, I was encouraged. I did see the coverage over at The Guardian. If I understood it, they were claiming, at least through their headline and their reporting, Dom, Wisconsin Supreme Court appears poised to strike down legislative maps and end Republican dominance. I like that headline.
That's a great headline.
I
want to read it again. Can I read it again?
Okay, yeah, you read it.
TheGuardian.com. Wisconsin Supreme Court appears poised to strike down legislative maps and end Republican dominance. Subheadline: decision from four liberal justices in lawsuit could eliminate some of the most gerrymandered districts in the United States.
Do you see the little above the headline, little red headline, Dom? I think you should also read that one.
Oh, that's the fight for democracy.
Wisconsin. Small d. Small d democracy.
Yes, small d democracy. Yes, that's what we're doing. We're fighting for democracy in Wisconsin.
Because, of course, if it was big d democracy, you know, like the Democratic Party, they'd be telling Justice Protasiewicz, she must recuse. Of course, they're Democrat telling her that Party. Now.
They're Are they yet. Not? Apparently, well, I'm sure we'll see. But apparently, according to the reporting of Jesse Apoyan at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, did not play. Justice Protasiewicz, a big role today in this hearing.
Here is how The Guardian is reporting it, at least a little bit of the reporting there of Dom. The Wisconsin Supreme Court appeared poised to strike down the current maps for the state legislature after 3 hours of oral arguments on Tuesday, a decision that could end more than a decade of Republican dominance and eliminate some of the most gerrymandered districts in the United States. Hallelujah. If that is indeed the ruling they conclude to, Dom. Now, the four liberal justices on the court all seem ready to embrace an argument from the challengers in the case, Clark v. Wisconsin Elections Commission, that the maps violate the state's constitution because they include more than 70 districts. It was unclear, however, how the justices would handle the redrawing of the map and whether it would immediately order elections for the entire legislature next year in new districts. Yes. That is the hope of many, right, Tom? Now, Wisconsin voters elect 99 assembly members every 2 years, but only half of the 33-member state senate would normally be up for elections next year. Much of today's oral argument focused on how to unpack the definition of contiguity in the Wisconsin Constitution. The document mandates that assembly districts be bounded by county, precinct, town, or ward lines to consistent of contiguous territory and be in compact form as practicable. It says the state senate district shall be comprised of convenient contiguous territory. Despite that requirement, 75 of the state's 132 legislative districts, 54 in the state assembly, and 21 in the Senate, contain at least one detached piece.
Detached seems like opposite of contiguous. I'm just saying.
That would
be. I'm no lawyer here, Crudy, but it just seems like that those two are like exactly opposite.
Now, Dom, Taylor Meehan, an attorney for the legislative Republicans, argued that districts had long been considered to be contiguous as long as they kept towns, counties, and wards whole. In Wisconsin, localities have annexed discontiguous, disconnected parts of land that have resulted in strange shapes. You can define contiguity as strictly or as loosely as you want, she said. That's the tail leading the dog. I'm pretty sure we're supposed to look at the definition to determine what the law is. According to Jill Karofsky, a liberal elected in 2020, who asked some of the most, let's call them pointed questions, Dom. And the good Bradley, Justice Ann Walsh Bradley, another liberal on the court, said history from the time of Wisconsin's Constitution led her to believe that it was unconvincing that contiguous could mean something other than physical contact. No contiguous touching, Dom. No touching me.
Oh, okay.
Dom, Mark Rayberry, lawyer for the nonprofit Campaign Legal Center, who represented some of the challengers, also said that it was possible to draw physically contiguous districts that included the detached portions. There's not a single place in Wisconsin that it's not possible to build districts with county, town, and ward lines and to be 100% contiguous.
I'll jump in here just a bit more, Crudy. In 2011, Republicans drew districts for the state legislature that were so distorted in their favor that it made it impossible for them to lose their majorities. Last year, the state Supreme Court implemented new maps that made as little change as possible from the old ones, but lawmakers and the state's Democratic governor reached a redistricting impasse. The court's liberal wing seemed unsettled on how they would proceed with a potential remedy to fixing the maps. State election officials have said they would need a new map in place no later than March 15th of 2024 for use in next year's elections. The justices asked all the lawyers in the case on Tuesday to submit the names of nonpartisan map makers who could serve as a special master to advise them in coming up with new maps. The request signaled the court was aware of the need to move quickly if they are going to strike down the map.
Map maker, make me a map?
Yes, please.
With alacrity, do it quickly.
And make them contiguous.
What about this bad Bradley? Does she not have
Where
shame?
Were you 2 years ago, Crudy? We were talking about this already. Where were you then?
Well, it's right here on the radio.
Why didn't you answer me, Crudy? I'm talking to you. Where were you then?
You know, the last guy that
I mean,
that
this is very important. You should have been here 2 years ago.
Come back. More of the greatest radio show ever. Your phone calls. It's Scott Ross soon. 844-96-PARTY. You're taking money somewhere else.
.5 The Tap.
What is the meaning behind Movember? It isn't just about the mustaches. Movember is meant to raise awareness about men's health, prostate or testicular cancer or suicide, and also be a reminder to see your doctor. Movember started in Australia in 2003. It's now observed in more than 20 countries. So guys, remember to see your doctor, and however you celebrate this month, all of us with your local Civic Media radio station wish you a wonderful
wonderful holiday season. I'm Terry Barr.
Don't let biased algorithms, or degree screens, or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes, don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media. The big and tall of political talk. The devil's advocates.
We are back from the 420 break. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Stick around, our pal Scott Ross. He's going to join us in studio in Madison at 4:30.
Dom, it's going to be a fun day because I've also got a fine comedian joining me from the comedy club right downstairs. You know, right downstairs here on State Street, coming up to the WMDX studios. His name, Kevin Bozeman. I was watching some of his stuff on the YouTubes last night. Funny guy. Yeah. Apparently, his tradition, Dom, he does a pre-Thanksgiving Day show at the comedy club. You know, sort of his tradition. Wednesday before Thanksgiving. Not everybody wants to get home to see grandma. Right. See grandpa pull my finger. You know, there's some people, some of us would like to avoid this holiday season.
Yes, some families don't want to spend that time together, perhaps want to go out and have a good time.
So a comedy club show on a Wednesday night could be a fun time. Now, Dom, I had a different sort of time today, and I was visited by Santa Jeff, and that was a good part. That was the good part of the day. Jeff, one of our frequent texters, he's the kid I punched on the bus way back in high school. Thought he was messing with me. It was another kid, but he bore the brunt and got the punch. But we've become friends, you know, water under the bridge this many years later.
Wow. And Jeff, making friends and influencing people.
Santa Jeff so generously brought me two bottles of booze.
You? What about me?
Well, you don't believe, Dom. So they must be for me. Both of them.
I believe in Santa. If Santa brings me booze, I believe in it.
I know you believe in tequila,
Dom. You know, kids, if you don't believe in Santa, he's not going to bring you anything. So, of course, even to this day at, 21 and 18, they claim they still believe. I don't know if they do.
Dom, do you believe in holiday miracles?
Do I believe in holiday miracles? Like miracles that only happen on the holidays, or that just generally happen like a Wednesday?
Like a preceding the holiday miracle. Like I feel like I had a little brush with a holiday miracle today.
Yeah.
Because the other stopper buyer, not the comedian, he's coming later. Not Scott Ross, he's coming soon.
Santa Jeff?
Not Santa Jeff, he brought the booze.
Thank you, Santa Jeff. I'll hopefully have some left next time we roll into town.
Don't count on it. But there was one other visitor in the Crudy life in a conversation, long form, the anticipated, didn't say eagerly, the anticipated conversation with CJ has occurred.
Oh,
we put it on. We put it on tape, Dom.
You laid down some tracks, did you?
We did. And it's going to play out in lieu of, you know, our absence on Thanksgiving Day. We'll be spending time with our respective families, but we're going to have a miraculous conversation between Crudy and CJ. And you all know CJ. He's been banned from the network. He was elected 2022 Douchebag of the Year right here on the greatest radio show ever. Not so much that we put him up for the award, no, as the audience did.
Yeah, audience. I mean, that.
And then elected him.
They did. It was the audience, and we stand by our audience.
So I did question, you know, why would a man put himself through this sort of public ridicule, as you do, CJ? And, you know, that's how it started. Buttering him up and all that kind of stuff, Dom. But in case you were wondering, you know, what sort of a failed exercise did this thing turned into.
Yes, that's exactly what I'm wondering.
Because, you know, I've had high expectations that I could break him down, that I could find the humanity behind the trolling on-air radio character that is CJ. I just felt like I've seen little glimpses of it. I could pull it out of him. And Nate was here. I think I did a good job. Good enough. Good enough for radio work. Good enough for Thanksgiving. No one's going to listen anyways. But it's going to play out.
Hey, man, WBA Awards, man, best interview of the year. Bringing the people together. This could be the ticket, baby.
I would like to say this will set the bar for a civil conversation between a reasonable human being and a Trumpster.
And CJ. Oh.
Still going to vote for Trump if Trump's the nominee. Still going to vote for Trump. Big fan of our show, though. Has been for a decade or more.
Yeah, I know, man.
Still making the claim he got the very first t-shirt we ever gave away. But you ordered those. You said those were pretty thin and didn't last very long.
Yeah, those were pretty thin.
Well, for those looking for a little holiday miracle and a reason to tune in to the greatest radio show ever this Wednesday, or pardon me, Thursday. Thanksgiving's always on a Thursday, right? This Thursday.
Yes.
After the Packers crush the Lions, that'll be my little Thanksgiving miracle. A little of Crudy and CJ. And I want to give you a little flavor of how it ends. Just in case you think there's nothing redeeming about this interview. And there's very little redeeming. But there's a little, there's something there.
There's something there?
Nate, let's just play how it ended. I gave CJ the last word, if you will, Dom. And the last word was so. Play it.
Thank you for this opportunity, Crudy. And God bless you and your family and all your listeners. I hope they have an amazing holiday, Christmas, Thanksgiving, because we truly are blessed to be in the Star Spangled Banner country. So.
And that's where it ended. Nate, being a fine producer, said, I could clip off the so. I'm like, I don't want CJ taken out of context.
Well, there was no but. That was just the end of the statement. I mean, that seems like a very nice.
I might have interrupted after the so. Like, yeah. So that's all I got to say is what I assumed. You know,
so I got to say about that. So, well, okay. And again, I know you're going to tease it. We're not going to play the whole thing. You're going to listen on Tuesday, of course, when you win
Thursday.
The WBA Award.
Sorry, you Thursday, also don't you know what day WBA Thanksgiving Awards, is.
Rudy, first nomination for sure. Are you convinced it was worth your time? Are you convinced this is something that could lead to something else? Or are you convinced that this was a worthwhile endeavor?
I would like to think it is perhaps a demonstration and communication excellence that all could model and follow, you know, like I set the bar so yeah. You can talk to your Trumpster uncle this Thanksgiving and go, God, if only I could do it like Crudy does it. And that is in a human way. And I let him ramble at various times. I knew he was rambling. We're all,
I mean, what do you say in a human way? I mean, what does that mean in a human? We're all human, man. So can you be a little more specific in what you mean by that?
Nate, be my witness here. I got a witness. I almost made him cry. He did become very choked up and emotional. Now, I did have to go tap some emotional well items, rub some onion in his eye. But no, I think he was very human. I think we found three or four different things we agreed on. Major policy points down. I'm going to tell you, he and I could solve the immigration policies of this nation. But that would take at least another hour. And, you know, one's all I got. Come back with us, Scott Ross. He's got at least 30 minutes for us, I hope. Yeah. More Devil's Advocates. It's going to get funner up in here. It's the funnier. Fun Hour with Scott Ross.
You're listening to 93.5, The Tap.
CBS News special report. The first ceasefire in Israel's war with Hamas now supposed to be in effect to pave the way for the first exchange of Hamas hostages for Palestinian prisoners held by Israel. CBS's Linda Gradstein is in Jerusalem.
Majid al-Ansari said the first group of 13 Israeli hostages will be freed at 4 p.m. local time, some 9 hours after the ceasefire goes into effect. Israeli officials did not confirm the timing, but said they had received an initial list of who will be freed. Hamas has said it will release 50 women and children over 4 days of a ceasefire, and Israel has agreed to free 150 Palestinian women and minors from Israeli jails. The deal was supposed to start on Thursday, but was delayed.
This happening in a situation of strong and mutual distrust, with the Israeli military stressing the war is not over yet, specifically warning that the northern Gaza Strip remains a dangerous war zone with movement there restricted. CBS News Special Report, I'm Tom Foote.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know. A fugitive is now formally charged with the death of his 12-year-old son, whose decomposing body was found in a home in Milwaukee last month. The Milwaukee County District Attorney's Office filed reckless homicide charges this week against Romuan Moy. No one is sure exactly when Jackery Robinson died or how. Meanwhile, Moy is on the run and there's a warrant out for his arrest. Prosecutors in Wisconsin may Sunday get more time to file sexual assault charges. Republican Senator Andre Jacques is introducing a bill to extend the statute of limitations for sex crimes in Wisconsin from 10 years to 20. Jacques says prosecutors in other states have 20 years to press sexual assault charges. A similar bill passed the state Senate last year but stalled in the Assembly. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Mostly clear skies and middle teens by sunrise with a north to northwest wind. Quite a bit of sunshine into Friday. Highs in the lower 30s. Clouds are back, though, for Saturday. We'll see highs in the afternoon into the lower and middle 30s. Right now, it's 19.
As goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Maybe we'll have a cookie trade.
I like that idea. I like that a lot.
We'll eat them while we're on the show.
Because everyone loves listening to people on the radio eat.
Calvin, what's your favorite cookie?
Shout out to my mom's. She makes these sour cream cookies around Christmas time, and they're really good.
My mouth just watered.
As goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Brock. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. 93.5, The Tap.
The Green Bay Packers call Lambeau Field home, but did you know the stadium has a history all its own? It started with where to build it. Residents on both sides of the city wanted it. Officials argued there had to be room for growth. Eventually, farmland was purchased, but in Ashwaubenon. The bargaining continued, and in 1956, the land was annexed to Green Bay. Green Bay City Stadium became a reality the following year and was renamed in honor of team co-founder and coach Curly Lambeau in 1960. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Ball.
The Todd Alba Show.
What really prompted me to call is how respectful and willing to listen you are. We are human beings. People have their beliefs for a whole lot of reasons. Some of them rational, maybe some of them not.
Well, thank you so much. Really appreciate the call, Stephanie. Look, we just need to listen to each other. Doesn't mean we always have to agree. I'm not going to give in on what facts are. But we do have to listen to one another if we want to try to get this country back on track.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. You're tapped in to the issues affecting the valley and all of Wisconsin. Consider us the bartenders of friendly local talk. This is 93.5
The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media. The Devil's Advocates, the fix for political junkies everywhere.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. I've been looking forward to this Tuesday for a long time. Oral argument before the Wisconsin Supreme Court. The Guardian headline leads me to believe that the liberal majority might overturn these damn unfair maps, Dom. A few of the texters. Andrew from Verona says, sucks to be in the minority. Mm-hmm. And then he also texts in, what a bitch. I think he's talking about the Karen Bradley, the bad Bradley.
The bad Bradley, yes.
Camfernina says, I'm jealous. I've been a kid's hand all the way through kindergarten. No Christmas gifts for me. And then here's a clever one. Get t-shirts that say, CJ says so. You know, get it? CJ says so. How the interview ended there.
So.
I got a fine guest next to me here in the WMDX Solidarity Realty Studios. He is a Gemini Firebrand, damn sexy man, friend of ours, Scott Ross. Welcome back, Scott.
It is great to be here. Good to see you both.
Good to see you, Scott. Thank you, man.
Oral argument Tuesday. And it took a matter of virtual seconds. I got to be honest, see the over-under is 10 seconds or less on the bad Bradley just jumping in and showing her true partisan colors, Scott.
Well, listen, Rebecca Bradley was going to be as obnoxious as humanly possible because she is bought and paid for by the interests that do not want us to have fair maps in Wisconsin. She has been on the wrong side of literally every fight the progressives care about, that common sense cares about. And so I'm not a betting man. I would have thought they would have let the guy talk for about a minute or so, but 10 seconds. Yeah, she was in there aggressively trying to refute the fact that, you know, the maps are rigged. It's against the law for maps to be rigged. And the only reason these maps survived was because four Republicans were in charge who were bought and paid for by the special interests who wanted these maps to be in place.
And obviously, Justice Bad Bradley doesn't give a damn about her bad reputation or her public image, because, I mean, she was just begging to be labeled a partisan, not just in how she interrupted the counsel leading for the plaintiffs, but also how she led Rick Essenberg from Will. Oh, Your Honor, let me fluff it up for you, sir. Yeah. It was so partisan. The line of questioning also showed her true colors, to my opinion, Scott.
Well, I agree. I mean, again, we're talking about, like, you know, the criticism that Republicans have. And if it wasn't the rigged statement or whatever, you know, Judge Janet said, it would have been something else. Like, this is Armageddon for them because they have had lockstep control of the Supreme Court for 15 years. And that has allowed them to pass whatever unconstitutional things they want. And because it's been their last, you know, it's been the Republicans. It's been their, you know, their lucky charm. Their last place to be able to make this stuff happen. And I'm unsurprised of her conduct. I mean, you know, listen, when it comes to Rebecca Bradley's corrupt partnership with Rick Essenberg and the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty, let's not forget for one second that Rick Essenberg wrote not once, not twice, but thrice to get her three appointments to various levels of the court, including the Supreme Court. And she has ruled in favor of his side 100% of the time on the bench, and that includes at least 12 cases. So, you know, let's not kid ourselves. She is never recused on any of these things. I think the press has ignored this, and I think it's, you know, to the detriment of democracy.
Scott Ross, I appreciate that you remind me it's Rebecca. I keep wanting to say Karen or Bad Bradley.
Bad Bradley's.
Understand. I love the, I mean, literally, like, if there's the one picture that, that's out there, sort of the stock photo of Rebecca Bradley that just literally could be the dictionary. You know, when you have the dictionary entry that says Karen, it would be that picture. So I understand. I understand why you're a little bit, you know, led in that direction.
A little confused. Scott Ross, our friend, you can find him on Twitter at Ross Across WI. Scott, you put this out there today responding to Will. Will, of course, very supportive of the voucher schools. Taxpayer-funded school privatization exists in Wisconsin because the deciding vote on the Supreme Court illegally colluded with Republican operatives to win his seat. Ross, what do you mean?
Yeah, back in 1997, when John Wilcox got onto the court, he got on as part, in part, by illegally colluding with an outside interest group, which was prohibited under the law at the time. You may remember that Scott Walker and Robin Voss undid that law in 2015 so that, you know, nonprofit groups, outside groups that are doing spending in campaigns can now collude legally, I guess, coordinate legally with political campaigns. And it's not afoul of state laws. And interestingly enough, Robin Voss's third spouse so far is the bag person for the Assembly special interest group that has spent about $7.5 million to attack Democratic candidates over the last X amount of years and get Robin to the point where he has that continuing majority, buoyed, of course, by the fact that the maps are completely and totally rigged and you'd have to be like brain dead to argue otherwise. But I'm sorry, back to the Republican arguments.
Back to now with this you know, new majority Supreme Court, do you think that you know, schools receiving taxpayer funded vouchers, that this will be something that they'll have to look at, that they will look at again? Do you think this is still something that needs to be settled?
I would love to see it settled, you know, because again, I think that the evidence has been the contrary. And I'll say this right off the bat that, like, you know, my mom was a public school teacher. My grandmother was a public school teacher. When my dad lost his job in the mill, he had a teaching certificate, so he was my substitute shop teacher. So I'm in the tank for public education, and I'm not an attorney. But what I do know is that the privatized schools that we're giving our money to, there's a couple things that happens with them. First and foremost, they can reject any student they want. Unlike public schools, which take all students because they're public schools and that's for the public good, these privatized schools can, you know, reject whoever they want. The other thing is they can take a student for a week, then kick that student out. And guess what? They get to keep the voucher. Like, those two things, I think, in particular, need to be revisited for sure. But again, I don't think we should be able to I don't think that my tax dollars should go towards supporting private interests or, you know, private in some car. A lot of instances, religious operations, like that's against like what we're supposed to be as a people. So I also am sympathetic about people who are in those programs, you know, but I think the real challenge with it is like, you know, when you talk about like charters, for instance, that was supposed to be a very small ships that get sent out, you know, to like see and explore and you know, and innovate and do things that are in smaller things, because a big giant, you know, you think of like a big public school is like an ocean liner, and these smaller things could go off and they were supposed to bring what they're learning back to incorporate that into public schools. But instead what they've become is this, you know, cash cow for the privatization cartel. And that's what, and that I think is to the detriment of all of us, because public education is the thing that solves 90% of our societal ills. Good education.
Scott Ross, man, you almost talked me out of my thought here for a moment. Politics makes strange bedfellows, and Governor Tony Evers finds himself on the same side, at least, of the current lawsuit brought by, I believe it's the Minocqua Brewing Company Super PAC, that they don't want the Wisconsin Supreme Court to be the court of original jurisdiction. Well, I would agree with that assessment. I don't think that's a necessary thing. District court, appellate court, Supreme Court. But ultimately, Scott, how do you think Robin Voss and Tony Evers found themselves on the same side of any issue? They cross the street to walk on opposite sides, don't they, Scott?
As I understand it, you know what I know. Well, all I know is what I read in the paper. But yeah, I mean, I can't argue what the law is. I can't argue what parts of the law that they feel are not good in this particular lawsuit. You know, because I mean, who's been a bigger, you know, I mean, Governor Evers has been a huge champion of public education. You know, who's done what he can do. Now, again, you know, a lot of things is, you know, he has to deal with the Republican legislature, which will do nothing to support public education in any way, shape or form. Republican legislature. And so he's got some constraints. But yeah, no, I mean, I just don't know enough about that lawsuit to tell you.
Fair enough. Let's come back to the issue of the day and the redistricting, because that's what people want to hear about today. Scott Ross, the redistricting, if the court is indeed, as the Guardian might want and as Crudy might want and many of our listeners, the courts are sympathetic. They overturn the current legislative maps. Do you think there's any chance in hell this plays out in a timeline that allows us to see new maps cast for next year's 2024 elections?
Yeah, I mean, the Wisconsin Elections Commission said they just need maps by March 24th. That's, you know, 4 months from now.
And then
it's plenty of time.
And then Robin Voss, of course, appeals to the U.S. Supreme Court. And if they choose to wait in, there's no way we meet these timelines.
Well, if they, you know, if they choose to throw those out, but they'd have to overturn our law. And then that would, I guess, what, restore our lousy maps? You know, so I guess it does. I mean, we'll have to, you know.
I'm just worried about the timelines, not necessarily even the overturning of the ruling like they kind of did the last time through, least change maps. I'm just worried that if they wait in and they stay the Wisconsin Supreme Court ruling, they won't effectively get the maps rolled out in time for people to make decisions about what district they live in.
Yep.
And maybe if they want to, you know, run for elected office in that district.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I think we'll see, you know, the Republicans use everything, every tool at their disposal, because this is Armageddon for them. Now, whether or not the U.S. Supreme Court will participate in this assisted rigging of elections, I mean, it's certainly possible. You know, I guess, you know, it would, you know, I have the experience of, you know, we had won a federal court case when I was at One Wisconsin Now, restoring a bunch of the rights that were taken away as far as voting and early voting and all that sort of thing. And it was in place for 4 years until, you know, a couple months before the election, a 3-judge panel on the Seventh Circuit that was then controlled by Republicans, led by Dianne Sykes, threw out the victory, you know, this after I was gone from own, but threw it out in 2020, a couple months before the election. So, you know, I don't think that there, I think that pretending that the courts, you know, the federal courts are any less partisan when it comes to the way Republicans operate than the state Supreme Court here would be foolish to say. So I think they'll do whatever they need to do if they decide it's worth them getting the lousy press.
Well, at least Rudolph Randa won't catch that case.
No, not unless they have that case at the Boneyard.
Wow, Scott Ross, our fine friend. Also, man, you're like super popular on Twitter, man. I mean, Rep. Derek Van Orden is tweeting out on you. What did you do to earn such recognition, Scott?
I don't know. I was trying to figure out, like, so, you know, I mean, I poke Van Orden all the time. Like, he's a January 6th terrorist insurrectionist who's in the Congress, a guy who is so cowardly he refused to debate Brad Paff, for God's sakes. You know, Brad's a great guy, but Brad's not somebody you think of when you think of, like, you know, Clarence Darrow arguing things, if we're going to use old legal metaphors. But, I don't know what happened. I was going to say, I don't know if he like sobered up or got drunk or a staffer's doing it, but like in the last three days, I've gotten 6 things back from him. He's going at me. It's going after my family. I mean, if making fun of Bob Ross and I for having the same name is like, you know, making fun of my family, but still, I mean, this is just bizarre. It's bizarre.
Does he think you're related? is he just...
Well, here's the thing. I'm gonna, here's an exclusive for all of your listeners.
Yes.
My first name is actually Robert, so technically I am Bob Ross.
Oh, you just blew my mind, man. Yeah.
As was my dad. My dad went by Bob Ross. When I was in college, I used to tell people, oh yeah, Bob Ross. Yeah, my dad's name Bob Ross.
I don't even know you, Bob Scott Ross.
Hey.
This is amazing.
Everything's going to be okay, Mike.
Is it? I mean, Derek Van Orden's a congressman. I mean, the guy walks around and gets on planes with loaded guns, Scott. I mean,
return flights.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you miss. I mean, I was out at the Dane County Airport last week because I went to go see my brother in Pittsburgh. But, like, the sign is, like, you know, as far as, like, saying you can't bring a gun on a plane is, you know, about 8 feet tall at the Dane County Airport. Now, I know he wasn't flying out of that, but I think most airports have a thing saying you can't. I mean, this guy's look at this guy. This is a guy who, like, admitted to sexually harassing another person, a woman in the service. A guy who, you know, attacked a teen. LGBT person in a library, went after the kids drunk in the Capitol, and is just generally like an unsavory character.
And those are his good qualities.
There you go.
He's Scott Ross. He's got many fine qualities. Some he hides from sight, you know, ninja style.
Friends, one of his greatest qualities.
Tweeting his superpower. Gemini. Flamethrower, friend of the Devil's Advocates. Come on back. More with Scott Ross. You should meet my friend CJ. You guys would love each other. Yeah. You'd have quite a conversation.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
Up US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
Don't let biased algorithms, or degree screens, or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media. The Devil's Advocates. Sausage making never looked so good.
For listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show, make sure you download the Civic Media app. It's super cool. You can take the Devils with you everywhere you go. You can hit the button to call or to text. Again, that's the Civic Media app. Look for it at your app store.
Scott Ross, our fun guest here in the Madison WMDX 92.7 FM studios. Scott, I feel a little bad. I mean, friend of the devil, that's the greatest tune you could possibly want, but we didn't even ask. Do you have march up music? Should we have played some tune in your honor, Scott?
You know what? I think sometimes you just have to let art flow. And so whatever you have inside, you can let it out. You know, I used to have a band. Maybe I'll bring in one of those, one of our old CDs sometime.
Like a big hair band?
Yeah.
Did you rock? Did you play speed metal? Because otherwise, Dom never heard of you.
Yeah. We were raw sexuality cooked to perfection. So.
Oh, that's a cool, oh, I like that name.
Some of that, maybe.
Yeah. So,
how about big tease? What? One more little exercise, and then we can talk politics. What if you had to pick march up music for Derek Van Orden? Now, could you help us out there if we ever had the congressman on this fine program? If his staff responded to emails or that kind of stuff,
I'd say the best thing would be I got a tear in my beer.
I'm crying for you, dear.
There you go.
Well played, right. Scott Ross. Well played.
Well, when I was growing up, so my parents are both like, they had me like right out of college. Okay. So like they were younger. And when I was growing up, our house was a Motown house. Okay. But my old man worked in the steel mill. And as you might remember, steel was the first American industry that got outsourced overseas. And I swear to God, once he got laid off, our home became a country home. So I have always sort of had a love-hate relationship with country music. And when Garth Brooks in the like late 80s, early 90s popped up and was everywhere, I started having like flashbacks to the early 80s when, you know, everybody in my neighborhood's parents were losing their jobs and stuff. So, you know, I'm sorry I couldn't come up with an even more insightful country song for Senator or for Representative Chugalug, but you know, I tried.
I think it worked very well.
When the factory closed, I would have guessed Bruce Springsteen, not country music.
There you go. You know,
or maybe Billy Joel, little Allentown. You know, you never know. Scott Ross, our friend. I don't know if you saw this over the weekend, man. It kind of maybe a preview, perhaps, of the RNC here in Milwaukee. But the Nazis were marching in Madison,
right,
man.
Up that street, right there, Scott.
Blood tribe. Like most of them had masks on, but a couple of guys didn't. Marching around with their Nazi swastika flags. Seems like perhaps they're among us, Scott. Remember this? This happened up in what, the small town up north?
Watertown.
Somewhere, right?
Thank you. Far up north. That's between here and Milwaukee.
The Baraboo High School at one point took a picture of a bunch of kids, you know, doing the Hal Hitler salute thing, man.
Prom night out in front of the Capitol here.
And of course, the RNC coming to Milwaukee, I think it's going to be contested. I think, you know, Donald Trump may be convicted by the time they actually run this convention. So there could be some infighting within the mega party.
Scott Ross, your thoughts, please.
Well, I was in Pennsylvania this weekend visiting my brother, and I saw the news, you know, online that that there were Nazis here marching, and you know, I liked the way that Madison responded. A lot of elected officials stood up, said that, you know, unequivocally, this is nonsense, this is garbage, these people have no place here. What I was, of course, you know, soon to see, though, is that no Republicans came out. You know, it's now 4 days since that happened. You don't have anybody coming out and saying that what was going on here was wrong. You got, you know, 132 legislators in the Capitol. They're not all Democrats. And I think one of them has said something about it. I think that one of the Waukesha senators said that Nazis are bad. You know, when you get to the point where, like, you're so blinded by partisanship that you think saying Nazis are bad is somehow going to hurt you with your base, I think that you have to really reevaluate what you're doing as an elected official, as a member of a political party, and as a human being, for God's sakes.
Do you think they'll ever pick an opponent for Tammy Baldwin? A credible opponent. I don't mean Sheriff David A. Clark Jr. I mean some real opponent.
It's
Hovde or bust, is it not?
Yeah, right. I mean, there's Hollywood Hovde, you know. I don't know why you would want to, you know. I guess maybe the thing is he'll wait till for a few months from now until after it's, you know, the weather isn't so bad here, you know, and it's more like he's, you know, over in California or whatever.
Doesn't want to freeze his...
Yeah.
Californian ass off here.
Exactly. And so, you know, that's the only one I've heard. I mean, they all seem to be too afraid. You know, Gallagher, they were talking about Gallagher and he quickly scurried away and said, no, not me. You know, Brian Stiles too busy, you know, again, you know, playing cover up for Derek Van Orten's attack on the kids in the Capitol. You know, there's a video of it and Stiles is actually the guy in charge who could release the video and he refuses to. Tiffany, he was fapping about, you know, for a while, and then he's not. Certainly Fitzgerald is no show, and Glenn Grothman, someone's locked him in his mom's basement. He can't get out.
Okay, Scott, all the way back to the gerrymandered maps.
Yes.
Let's assume we get new maps. Do you assume a Democratic majority would come from those maps?
I think that'd be a big hill to climb up. But what I do think would happen, and I think what's very important, is that you would have more competitive districts so that the extremists who are currently now in the Republican caucus, I mean, you think of some of these folks, like, they're not going to be able to win these races if they just pander to the hardcore righties, you know, because the districts would be more competitive and you have to, like, you know, there is some place in the middle there where you have to, like, get some of those voters. Right now, you don't have to. But I also, you know, I think it's going to take some time because, again, a lot of these places right now, the only information they get is, you know, maybe a progressive opinion from your radio stations that are around the state. And that's about it because it's all Republicans. So the coverage of politics there is all about Republicans and maybe what Tony Evers has to say. You know, so I think that it's going to, you know, I hope that they're prepared. You know, I hope that people are prepared. You know, we've had some good success in terms of getting some really good candidates who have been stymied because of the lousy maps. Let's hope they go in for it one more time, you know, if at first you don't succeed.
Scott Ross, turkey or ham?
Neither. I like stuffing. I don't like ham.
Prime rib? What do you eat then? Thanksgiving.
Listen, after so many years of being that finicky over those two things, I have learned to eat the sides. So I'm a stuffing guy.
Dom. Resembles
whatever's
that remark
in front of me, man. You know, I'm not making any of it, so I really don't have a place to pick.
Scott Ross, I hope you have a wonderful Thanksgiving. Thank you for joining us here on the Devil's Advocates.
You as well, both, and to all of your listeners, happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you, sir. Come back a happier happy hour, I suspect, although you're hard to top, Scott Ross.
My lonely mind.
Tap into what Chippewa Falls, Eau Claire, and the Chippewa Valley is talking about today. This is 93.5 The Tap. Online at thetap.fm. This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap,
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.